stories that we like to tell. It's like when getting up early in the morning with our dad, we used to go out and meet up with our uncles and work in the fields.
He was always into the winemaking side, but just did homemade stuff. But everyone loved it.
As members of the family, presenting the wines ourselves, it's very important for us. And I think it's important for people as well to put a face on the wine.
I was born and raised here. I love the family history. I love the seasons. So somewhere deep down, I knew I was coming back.
It evolved. It started with wanting to grow grapes.
We say, so drink the wine. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 370. This week we feature Noé Tasseron of Pimray, Napa Valley. Family experience in Cognac and Bordeaux all come together at Pimray Napa Valley. Located on Mount Veeder at Robin Williams' former estate, Pimray is the single red made by the Tasseron family in Napa Valley. Noé Tasseron visited the LBTV studio while on a tour of the U.S. to promote this first vintage of his family's very special wine. This isn't the first time Bordeaux has come to Napa to make wine, but to be sure, any serious wine collector will surely seek out this small production wine. Noé has a very different take on wine pairing for you, so we suggest you tune in and turn it up. You can also hear Noé on our Vino Lingo segment, defining the term terroir-driven philosophy.
I'm here with Noé Tisserol. Noé is a family member of Pimray, and your winery in France is?
Château Pontécané. C'est Pimray, Pontécané, and Tisserol, Cognac.
What is actually your title, your position at the winery?
So I represent the three of our brands, so Pimray in Napa Valley, Château Pontécané in Pauillac, and Tesseron Cognac in Cognac, around the world, and try to spread the good word, and yes, that's pretty much it.
That's a great thing to be able to do, not bad. Travel around the world, take some wine with you, make some friends.
Very lucky.
I like that. I like that.
Good wine and good company, that's good.
So the winery goes back in France to the 1700s, so obviously you've got this lineage and family. How long have you been working with the winery since you were young? How does that work for you?
As regard for my family, so we've owned Pontécané since 1975, and we are the third family to own the estate, which is quite rare in the region. It has been owned for only three families for its 300 years history. And as for myself, I've always been around and involved, half involved, I would say, in the activities, but I've been officially working with my family for the past 2 years.
Great. You know, and I should make this clear too, you're in Bordeaux.
Yes, we are in Bordeaux, just north of Bordeaux, on the left bank in Médoc, and more precisely in Pauillac.
So now you've entered the United States, and you have a different project here, and this is Pimray. So tell me a little bit about that.
So it's a project that was, if I may, in the pipes for the past 8 years, and we purchased the property in 2016, and it used to belong to the late Robin Williams, the actor, and it wasn't any kind of place that we were looking for. We were looking for a specific age of the vine. We needed a vineyard that was well implanted and in good condition, and specific type of soils as well. So we're not exactly in the valley, we're on Mount Veeder. So it's mountain fruit, as you can imagine, 1800 feet of elevation. And on the paper at the beginning, it was quite the opposite that we were looking for. The property is 600 acres, and the vineyard itself is 18 acres. But we always say that's the vineyard who found us and not the opposite, because it was exactly the place and we had no other choice but to buy it and to start this adventure.
And it's a great area. Obviously, many of our listeners are familiar with Mount Veeder, and I'm going to guess, obviously, the majority of what you're making is Cabernet.
Yes, so planted basically mostly in Cabernet Sauvignon, 76%, 17% Merlot, and a little bit of Cabernet Franc as well, 7%. So it's great varietals we are very familiar with, as you can imagine.
And the bottle you brought in today shows the vintage of 2016, which is your initial vintage, right?
Yes, it's the very first vintage made at the property, because the previous owner, Robin Williams, had somebody taking care of the vineyard, and they used to sell the grapes to the surrounding wineries, basically. So it's the very first time a wine is made at the property. And this week was actually the very first week of the release. So we've been traveling the country, my sister, my father and myself, to spread the good word and hopefully have good feedbacks, which we had. So that's been amazing.
That's great to hear. And how many wines are you making specifically?
Only one.
Only one.
Wow. 18 acres. We are working organic and biodynamically as we are in Portecane in the mountain. So as you can imagine, it's a very small production. It's quite exclusive. So no, it's an exciting project.
Have you been to the States many times? I'm guessing you have been.
I've been to the States many times. I would love to go. I would love to go more often to Napa itself. I will go more often, definitely, since we have the wine now. But I actually learned English in the U.S. when I was a little bit younger.
No, your English is great. But I mean, obviously, spending a lot of time here, the need to communicate is a big deal.
Of course, yeah. Of course. So we just to give you an example. In the past week, I was in Texas, in Atlanta, in Nashville, Chicago. We're flying to Miami, so we are as much as we can. We need to be, as a family member, presenting the wines, you know, because it's very important for us. And my father has been doing this his whole life, basically.
It's got to be really interesting for you. I don't know if you, in the past you've been able to see this cross section of the country, but it's got to be really an interesting experience for you because America is so completely different, as is France when you go to different regions. Yeah.
Yes, but so much, I mean, America is so much bigger.
Yeah.
But no, it's been, I mean, honestly, it was my first time in those regions. And the first thing I noticed was the people are so welcoming and are very open to try many things. And whether it's the different vintages of Portecane that we've had all week, of course, our new Pimray vintage, we've had amazing feedbacks and people are very supportive. So it's great to hear that.
Excellent. Mount Veeder is a very important area in Napa Valley, and there's so many great appellations, super well known for its Cabernet. So, you know, making a wine like this is going to have to be really a top shelf wine in terms of quality. Does that, I mean, you're from France, you're a winemaker, you've done this before, but this is a different place. Does that feel daunting for you in any way, shape, or form?
You know, we've always done things a little bit our own way, even at Portecane. And the goal was really to try and bring our philosophy and our vision to Napa, but out of respect of the terroir of Napa. So we are not trying to emulate Portecane in Napa. The goal is really to make a wine that is representative of its terroir and true to its terroir. So we work organic and biodynamic. We are now certified at Pimray. And one thing which was very important for us, and hence the importance of the place and the climate and the soils themselves, is that we wanted to be able to do dry farming. So as soon as we arrived in 2016, we removed all of the irrigation system. So we are not tempted to irrigate. And so we've been dry farming. And that's possible because there's specific type of sedimentary soils and a little bit of limestone in the vineyard. And because the vineyard is mature enough and we wanted the roots to go deep to really get some freshness. But of course, the goal is, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a pleasure wine. It's a Napa wine, you know, so.
This is going to be the dumb question of the day, but I have to ask it. Why did you choose Napa?
Well, it's always been, you know, in the family, we're from Charente originally, so in the Cognac region, and people over there are very pragmatical. So, and, you know, we are not big risk takers, if I may, so we know how to do one thing, and we carry on doing that thing. We know Cabernet, that's for sure, and we wanted to be able to work with those grape varietals. And there's always been a big attachment from my father to the U.S. So when he started working 50 years ago, he started working in the U.S. He went there for 6 months. He ended up staying 6 years. As he used to be selling wine over there, traveling the country. So it's always been very linked to the country, and even our winemaker, our estate manager at Portecane, Jean-Michel Combe, his first experience as a winemaker was in Napa, actually.
Well, nice.
And yeah.
It's got to be interesting, though, to go to a totally different country, no different than the Americans have gone to France or Spain or wherever to start off this experience. A little bit scary, no matter what.
Well, I mean, any new project is a little bit scary, but as I said, so far the feedbacks are great. And, you know, for us, the most important thing is the work that is done in the vineyard. And if we're confident that the work that is done in the vineyard is good, then the winemaking will try to enhance what's been done in the vineyard, and hopefully the result will show in the glass. And of course, we've had a little bit of traction from Ponte Canet, which is well implanted in the U.S. now. So yes.
About how many cases are you importing?
Oh, of Ponte Canet?
Yeah.
Oh, very. No.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Just kind of curious. And how many cases are you doing in the Pimeray?
Oh, just a tiny bit.
Well, with 18 acres, yeah.
18 acres, farmed organic and biodynamically, dry farming, mountain fruit, as you can imagine. The yields are very low.
Purchasing this property, being that it was owned by Robin Williams, and there was a lot of press about the property, obviously, after he passed away. It's got to be a little bit, how would I put this? Is it a little odd for you in that way?
Well, you know, for us, the most important thing was the vineyard itself. And what came with it was almost symbolic as well. You know, how can I say? The first thing you see when you come in the property, in the house itself, that was in the property, is a giant globe, which we choose as our logo for Pimeray. This giant metal globe in the entrance, which for us, straight when we arrived, was very symbolic of the philosophy behind biodynamy being a global approach, and for the fact that for us it's making wine at the other end of the earth, and this globe actually was Robin Williams was a very good friend with Christopher Reeves, the actor from Superman.
Sure.
It's a glimpse to the Daily Planet globe, so it's a quick it's a fun link, but of course, I mean, we're first of all, the name itself, Pimeray, we decided to carry on with it out of respect for the history of the vineyard. So Pimeray was actually originally the name given to the vineyard itself by Robin Williams. So there wasn't any wine made at the property, but the vineyard was named Pimeray. And it's the two middle names of his children. So out of respect of that history, we decided to keep that as well.
It's great you guys did that. And the property has a special name, doesn't it?
So the property itself, the house, is named Villa Soriso, which means the House of Smiles, basically. And as you can imagine, for Robin Williams, smiling was quite important.
Well, it's great to be able to carry on this tradition. In your marketing, is that your intent to involve the name of Robin Williams, or are you going to try and keep it completely independent?
No, it's very independent. You know, it's a new start on the property. But, you know, coming from Bordeaux and having been involved in historical estates, there's always a link to history, you know. When we talk about Ponte Canet, we've been there since 1975, but we always mention the history of the estate and the previous families that have owned it. So it's really a sort of mix of tradition and respect for the history of the estate itself.
You're obviously making classic Bordeaux blends. Are you making any kind of whites whatsoever over there or no?
No. Once again, we do one thing, yeah. We keep on doing that thing. No, the only thing we're still producing, of course, is cognac. So in the cognac region, north of Bordeaux, we still have it's a very small house, and we produce almost exclusively XO cognac, which is 10 years minimum.
Wow.
So this is only cognac and wine, which is already a good dinner, you know.
Nice, yeah. Well, isn't that what it's all about in France, really? I mean, wine is food?
At the end of the day, you know, regardless of the appellation, regardless of the vintage, of everything, at the end of the day, it's all about having a good time, you know. And whether it's for the wine and the cognac, we try to make liquids that are for pleasure, you know. So
yeah, liquids for pleasure. No, it's okay. It simplifies it, but it's true. It's what it is, because it's an agricultural product when you get right down to
exactly.
it. Exactly. When you came to the United States to do this, I know you certainly have a certain amount of regulation in France. Was it so completely different for you here to look at how the legalities of making wine over here, the travel, that sort of thing would be?
Well, you know, it's working on a new terroir itself was complicated.
Yeah.
And it's you have to rediscover everything, and you know, you think you know how things work, and they work out very differently, even if they seem similar, you know, in the U.S. So it's been challenging, but the wine is finally bottled, the wine is finally coming out, so hopefully we'll carry on like this.
Sure, and this being it was a 16, and that was again your first harvest, so now you've already had 3 harvests under your belt. Talked to a lot of winemakers about issues with labor in California specifically. Has that been any kind of a concern for you? Again, it's a smaller vineyard, but
No, it's a good question. So first of all, our estate manager there is the son of our estate manager at Pontécanet, Jean-Michel Combe. His son Thomas is taking care of the estate at Pimray. And it was a very important point for us, people working in the vineyard and the cellar. So we have a team of five people that are at the property through the whole cycle of the year. So it was really important for us to have people that were committed, and even for them to really see the result of what they're doing in the vineyard, and that are not there just for a specific task, you know. Because in Pontécanet, we have people through the whole year. We have people that have been there 20 years. So it's very important for us. So we are trying, hopefully, at Pimray, to give them good conditions of work, so they're happy to come and work with us as well. And hopefully they are a dedicated team for many years to come. So that was very important for us. And, you know, everything is pretty much handmade at the vineyard, whether it's in the vineyard or in the cellar. So we needed people that were committed.
So since you've done a certain amount of travel, I assume you're looking to do a certain amount of distribution as well around the country.
So the main market for Pimray is by far the U.S. You know, if you were to make an American wine, you have to show it to Americans. So it's important for us. And so far, we are only releasing the wine in the U.S. And maybe in a few months, it will come out around the world as well. But once again, in a very exclusive quantities, you know.
Sure. Do you think, and I'm really getting ahead of things here, that you would consider expanding in America in any way?
You know, step by step. Yeah. If you ever meet my father, there is never a rush, even if he's always planning. It's always step by step, you know. We are just releasing the wine, so we'll see. But the estate is big and we have possibilities, but so far we're concentrating on what we have and trying to make the best out of it.
And from what I've read, you your main reason was obviously the terroir and the age of the vines as well. Do you think you'll have to be doing any, in the near future, any replanting at all? Or?
We'll see. Once again, you know, we are doing with what we have. We will be replanting slowly but slowly, you know. But yes, we'll see.
I'm just trying to see into the future here.
No, you're right.
No, that's okay. For you personally, the difference between winemaking in France and the difference in winemaking in the States, is it wildly radical for you, the difference?
So first, it's all about adaptation to what was given by the vineyard itself. So regulations are different, of course. And so there are many similarities, but there's always adaptation, once again, to the terroir. And to give you an idea, we are trying to implement things at Pimray that we've been doing at Pontécanet for years. For example, a portion of the wine is aged in concrete in Pimray. So it's not only French oak, it's concrete vats as well. 30% of the wine is aged in concrete. So there are obviously many similarities in the way we work the cellar, but there's always a bit of adaptation. And the yields and the vineyard being much smaller in Napa, and the team being much smaller as well, allows for a little bit more experimentation. And everything is done by hand, you know, the sorting, the destimming of the grapes. So, yeah.
For me, if you would, and for our listeners, we've talked about concrete a lot, and it's become a very popular thing with many winemakers. Explain that difference for our listeners, if you would.
So for us, you know, the central thing is the fruit, and it's what's given by the vineyard. And we don't want to make it up too much with too much oak, you know. And we very often say we are the first drinkers of our wine. And, you know, when you finish a bottle, you want to be able to think, let's have another one and not being tired, you know, by too much oaky or extraction, you know. And the goal was really to reestablish an equilibrium between the fruit and the oak, and to have a wine that has freshness, that is accessible in a way, you know. Being in Pauillac, for example, for Pontécanet, being on a historical appellation, if you are aiming to make a great wine, it doesn't mean that you cannot make a wine for pleasure. And that is, you know, in good part the reason we are doing that.
Obviously, this is a family effort, and this is the thing we love the most, is how much family is involved in winemaking. How many members of your family are involved in this project?
So it's basically my father, my sister, and my two cousins, Melanie and Philippine. And so it's really a family project, you know. And we, as much as we can, we are trying to be, as members of the family, presenting the wines ourselves. It's very important for us, and I think it's important for people as well, to put a face on wine as well.
I agree.
And as much as we can, we try to get people to come at the property as well, whether it's in Pauillac, in Cognac, or now in Napa, so they see what's behind the bottle, you know, all of the effort that is done in the vineyard, all the small details that you may not notice that make this wine, you know.
For me, to go through a vineyard, to spend time in a cellar is a great experience. Do you get that opportunity yourself with all you do to be in the cellar or in the vineyard?
So as much as I can, when I'm there, I try to, you know, whether it's trying the wines, trying the blend, trying a barrel sample, you know, whether it's in Cognac, in Portecane, or in Pimeray, it's very important for us. And just people working at the property, you look at Jean-Michel Combe, our estate manager at Portecane, or Thomas, his son in Pimeray, they are always in the vineyard, you know, always tasting, always touching the vines. It may seem like a detail, but, you know, if you're not in it, you cannot understand it, you know. It's like knowing about wine. If you don't drink it, you will never know about what you're talking about, if I may.
That's a great quote. If you're not in it, you don't understand it. I really like that. That's a real good one. Thank you. You know, when I talk to winemakers, one of my favorite questions to ask is, of all the questions you get asked, what's the one question you don't get asked that you would like to be asked?
It's a very good question. I take a bit of time to think about
that. You can take a moment.
That I would like to get asked. So, you know, we are often asked, what should I pair your wine with, you know, and as food. I'm very passionate about music, and sometimes I would like to get, what music should I listen to when I drink your wine, you know? And as long as it's good music, obviously, should be okay.
That was a totally original answer.
What?
No way for our listeners to learn a little bit about you, both in France and in the States. How would they do that online?
So you can check out we have a website for our new Pimeray wine. So it's pim-ray.com. You can check out pontecane.com, ponte-cane.com, or tesseroncognac.com. And of course, we are a little bit on social media, Instagram, and we're trying to share a little bit of pictures of the vineyard or the cellar. But once again, the most important thing, if you want to learn more about our wines, is to actually try it or to come and visit, you know. Once again, it is very important for us.
The best part is tasting wine.
Exactly.
Noé, thank you very much for taking the time today. We do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. First time in Milwaukee and first podcast in Milwaukee. So thank you very much.
Glad we could be the first.
Yeah.
Learn more by visiting pim-ray.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Copyright 2020.